Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 11, the Word of God says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Young people, I'm going to guarantee you something. There's going to be times when you face difficult things. You faced them to a measure already, I'm sure. Maybe a difficult teacher or difficult kids at school. That's going to continue. It happens to everybody. Don't worry, it's not because you're doing something wrong. It happens to everybody. It's just the way that God has designed it. Sometimes God uses circumstances and people as what you could call divine sandpaper. In other words, He's trying to mold us. He's trying to get us to be a certain way, to build character in us and so on. And people and circumstances are one of His favorite tools. So don't be surprised that it happens to you. Don't be surprised that maybe things get harder in life. They won't stay harder. There'll be better times also. But then there'll also be tougher times. You will face it. It doesn't matter how well you're doing. Everybody faces this, from the poorest to the richest. They all face the same things. Don't be surprised. When you face it, remember something. God will make everything beautiful in its time. No matter what the problem, no matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance, God will make everything beautiful in its time. In 1 Peter 4:12, Peter tells us, Beloved, and I love the fact that he starts with the word beloved there. He's saying, you are the loved ones of God. Beloved. That being the case, that you are the loved ones of God, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. The loved ones of God, don't think it strange that you're going through a tough time. Don't think it's strange that you're dealing with difficult people. Don't think it's strange that things didn't go well for you all of a sudden. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. That happens to us sometimes. We go through something that's difficult and we say, what's going on here? Why am I going through something difficult? This isn't supposed to happen. My question is, why do you think it's not supposed to happen? The Bible said it would happen. Don't think it's strange as though some strange thing happened to you. There's no strange thing going on here. This is absolutely normal. And not only is it normal, it was planned. Because God is using the circumstance to mold you, to build you, to form something in you that wasn't there before. And He will continue to do that in your entire life. God is using circumstances to get us, for example, to use the Word of God in our thinking. A lot of times when you go through a difficult thing, you can't get through it. You can't think your way through it. You can't work your way through it until you start thinking with the Word of God. That's one of the more common types of trials. God wants you to think with the Word of God, so He forces the issue. And He'll force us to think with the Word of God because that needs to be our frame of reference. We need to see that it works for us. And so God will put us into situations where the Word of God works for us. God will put us into situations where we need to see His faithfulness come through for us because that's how we know He's faithful. God will put us into situations where we need to pray because there's no other way out. So we pray and then He comes through for us because He wants to show us that prayer actually works. So don't be surprised when this comes. He's going to make it a beautiful thing in its time. When things come your way that challenge you, it doesn't matter whether you think they're small things or big things. It doesn't matter how severe it is, whether it's very mild or very severe. Whatever it is, when things come that challenge you, there's three things you want to keep in mind. Number one, 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are from God. God brought it. It's not an accident. God brought it. You didn't mess it up. God brought it. You may think you made it happen, but God planned it all along. All things are from God. All in the original language means all. Each and everything is from God. The good things and the bad things, they're all from God. The good times and the bad times, they are from God. The sweet people and the difficult people, they are from God. All things are from God. Things go well, things go poorly, it's all from God. All things are from God. You guys going to remember that? All things are from God. Number two, 2 Corinthians 4:15. All things are for your sake. Your personal sake. Sometimes people hear that statement and they take it very generally. No, take it personally. If it is happening, it's for your sake. You may say to yourself, well, I don't know how this benefits me. That's because you don't see the end of it. All things are for your sake. In Ecclesiastes 7:8, it does say the end of a thing is better than its beginning. So trust that all things are for your sake. And then in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. It doesn't matter how bad they look. All things work together for good. Somebody has cancer. You can say, how can this possibly work together for good? It does. It works together for good. Maybe it's terminal cancer. Maybe it's a problem that they cannot survive. That happens to people sometimes. It still works together for good. Good doesn't always mean time. Often, we ask ourselves, how can this be good? Because we look at our lives and we see that it's difficult and we see maybe that there's no probability, no likelihood that it's going to get better before we die. And that happens to some people sometimes. But your life is not limited to what's going on here. Remember something. You on earth is the beginning of your life. It's not the beginning and end of your life. It's only the beginning of your life. Your real life is not going to take place on earth. The vast majority of your life. I mean, you can't even put a percentage on it, how big the percentage is. It's going to happen after you leave the earth, after you're in heaven. Because you're not going to die. Nobody dies. Your body dies, but your soul does not die. And who you are is very much your soul. It's not your body. It's your soul. We can think it's our body because maybe we have an itch or something hurts. Or something feels good. And we say, well, that's my body. Yeah, that's your body, but that's not who you are. You are your soul. And the Bible tells us, and there's plenty of people who have died and the doctors managed to bring them back who tell us that their soul is who they are. They have left their body. They looked at their body as the doctors were working on them. Some people even went to heaven and unfortunately some went to hell. They can tell you it's all real. And then the doctors bring them back and they continue on in their body for some time. You are your soul. That's why you can never die. Your body is like your coat. In the same way that you can take your coat off, you will eventually take your body off. But it's nothing more than a coat. The real you is the soul that's inside of your body. Just the same way that the real you isn't your coat, it's the person inside the coat. So all things do work together for good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that good comes in time. It may come in heaven, but it will come. Now, I will tell you this much. Whatever good doesn't come in time is going to mean that much better in heaven. God promises that. So if you don't get the good in time, you will get even more in heaven. It's called a better resurrection. That's what the Bible calls it. It's a better resurrection. The end of a thing is always better than the beginning. Remember that. The end of the thing is always better than the beginning. How you start, no matter how it is, you're going to end up better. The end of a thing is always better than its beginning. Why? God promises that. God makes that so. And then it continues there in Ecclesiastes 7:8. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That tells me two things. Number one, that there's a difference between patience and pride. Patience is the manifestation of humility. Impatience is the manifestation of pride. You don't want to go down the proud route. James chapter 4 tells us that God opposes proud people. So you don't want to be proud. You don't want to go down that route. Pride is simply when you become self-oriented. That's pride. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The second thing about that is that this goes along with Mark 12:30. Think about what patience is. Patience is the first characteristic of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says there that love is first patient and then it's kind. And then it continues into things like it doesn't look for its own way. And most importantly, in that section of it, it doesn't think any evil. It all starts with patience with the love of God. Now, Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God, because this is the most important commandment. What does God want from you? The most important thing. Love the Lord your God. Why? Because God wants you to be patient and kind toward Him. And that seems kind of strange. Why would God want that? And He also doesn't want you to seek your own way. He wants you to seek His way. And He wants you to think no evil of Him. And this is why. God will put you in processes. Most of your life is going to be a series of processes. In other words, God doesn't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you're grown up. All of a sudden you're mature. All of a sudden you have character. No, those are things that require processes. A lot of the things in our lives require processes. If I am impatient toward God, I'll be impatient toward His process. In my impatience, and this works in our relationships with people too, but we're talking about now our relationship to God. In my impatience, I will become unkind to God. And I'll do so by accusing Him. I'll think evil of Him, and I'll do so when I'm seeking my own way. In other words, I don't like the process. It challenges me. So I react to it emotionally. And I'll start accusing God of not being loving, or not being kind, or not answering prayer. I'll start accusing Him. Well, Satan is the accuser. It's actually Satan who whispers these kind of thoughts to our minds. And I'll start accusing God, and the more I accuse God, the more upset I become. And eventually, I will not tolerate the process. Well, the process was there to build you. All things were from God. All things are for your sake. All things work together for good. The process is from God. The process is for your sake. The process works for good. God is there trying to build you. If I start to think evil of God, because I'm impatient in the process, impatient with God and His process, I'll start accusing Him, and eventually I won't tolerate the process, and I'll walk out of the process. I'll start fighting the process. Well, what am I fighting? I'm fighting the thing that is from God. I'm fighting the thing that God brought for my sake. And I'm fighting the thing that leads to good in my life. What do you think is going to be the result? Bad in my life. You never want to get to that place. That's why God says the most important thing in your life is to love God. Be patient and kind toward God. Don't look for your own way versus God's way. Look for God's way. Your own way is nowhere near that good. And never think evil of God. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who saves you. He's the one who says you're precious in my eyes. It's God who's saying those things. So never think evil of God as though the process is there to hurt you. The process is there to build you, to benefit you, to make something wonderful out of your life. Fight the process, and you're fighting the outcome that God has for you. You never want to get to that point. In the difficult times, understand that God will not leave you comfortless. Isaiah 61:3 says that God came to console the people who mourn. In other words, you're mourning, you're sad about something, you're grieving. God came to comfort you. It says He gives you beauty for ashes. The things that are messed up in your life, He'll exchange those things and make those things beautiful in your life. If you are very sad, depressed, whatever, He's going to give you joy. That's why He came. If you're feeling very heavy and down, He's going to cause you to praise Him because of the way that He comes through for you. God's always going to turn a divine reversal. In other words, when the process comes, it will have its outcome. The process will not last forever. It will have its outcome. And when the outcome comes, you're going to have great joy as a result of the process. You're going to be very grateful for the difficult process. I can tell you from personal experience, this is how it works. I've been through a lot of tough processes. And I can tell you that in every single case, I ended up being very grateful for the tough process because the outcome is always beautiful. God makes all things beautiful in their times. Doesn't matter what they are, doesn't matter how bad they seem, no matter what it is, God will make it a beautiful thing in your life. Do you guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.